The scripture I have for today comes from Ephesians 2, verse 10. And I think it's very, you know, I think everybody should have this verse, you know, and say to themselves, but instead of saying the we and us, is say I and me. So here we go. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for being created by you to be your masterpiece, Father. How you could see us as masterpieces is far beyond my understanding, but you have, and you created us anew in your Son Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that you have called us to do throughout our lives, Father.
Yes.
And we still have plenty of life to go, so let us continue doing the good things that you have given to us, Father. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for the people here on Zoom and the people here in the room here. We thank you for Don and Sue, keeping safe on their trip.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray this in Jesus' name. So, as you know, today is my wife's turn to give the message. So,
praise God.
Amen. Let me get down.
Of course, she bruises me at that.
Oh,
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Amelia.
Hope everybody's doing well. I love that verse that Horace just shared from Ephesians. Was it 2? I wrote down 2.
Yeah.
We're God's masterpiece because it's, you know, I have to remind myself all the time and just put I and we or I and what did you say, Horace?
I and me.
I am me. So I am God's masterpiece. Mm-hmm. You are God's masterpiece. I love that. It goes right along with what we're talking about today. Okay, so I'm also a little bit embarrassed because my husband showed Keith my stack of notes here because I get really nervous and so I basically read. So if it sounds like I'm reading, I probably am, but I'll try not to sound like I'm reading. So a couple of weeks ago, the last week that Don preached, Horace read the verses from Romans 8:31-34, beginning our church service. So let me just read those really quick. So it's Romans 8:31-34. Okay, so what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. And then the version that Horace read, it said it was interceding for us. And that just, you know, that's just so like, wow. To think of Jesus interceding for us. And this, I mean, I knew that already. I've read these verses many times, but it just hit me when you read that. And also the line, If God is for us, who can be against us? So that's kind of what this is about today. He is, and I don't think he has any idea of the profound impact that those words had on me that morning. You see, some of our family members have been going through a lot, and I've been pretty consumed with sorrow and worry about them. I've prayed and prayed. I've gotten discouraged, prayed some more. I've gone through all the emotions that, you know, a mother would go through when their children are going through stuff. I've felt like failure. Like, did we forget to do something? What did we do wrong? You know, I have felt extreme sorrow, as I mentioned already. But, you know, it's like a roller coaster. I've had trouble sleeping. I've had super high blood pressures, which is, you know, my blood pressures have been a little, you know, elevated, but not this high. They have come down quite a bit, so that's good, but they were pretty scary high. And a lot of times I just feel completely helpless. You know, what can we do? What can we do? We can't make decisions for people, right? You know, when our babies are hurting, we're also hurting. I think these are all normal emotions. They make poor life decisions. We might, you know, well, we go through those emotions, wondering where we went wrong, et cetera, et cetera. One thing that I do know, watching our adult children navigate life has given me a much clearer understanding of God our Father and his love for us, because no matter what, we love our kids. We might get frustrated with them, but we still love them. You know, we might be like, oh, why are you doing this? But we still love them, you know, and we still want the best for them, and we still patiently wait for that hope that is within us, right? That God will get a hold of them and bring them back home. I admit that I've often imagined God as, I've imagined him as a man with a head full of gray hair, with his arms crossed, shaking his head, going, you know, just like, you mess ups, you know? But he's not like our earthly fathers, right? Not that my father ever called me a mess up, but, you know, he never told me he was proud of me until a year and a half before he passed away. It was the first time he had ever told me that he was proud of me. And I didn't even realize that until not that long ago. And that hurt, you know?
Yeah.
He, our God, our godly father, he's a patient, loving God, who, as Brian shared last week in Song of Solomon, you know, he's a God that is so in love with us. And here's where we can change those words. He's so in love with me, mm-hmm. you know, and we should all do that, mm-hmm. right? He's so in love with us that he continues to pursue us and woo us to come to him. He never stops.
Right.
He never, ever gives up on us. Never. I think of that song. I think of remembering Keith and Tammy singing it. I just love it. And it's just the thought, just the magnitude of that. You know, when we have messed up so many times and we deserve the worst, his love for us is still there. He's still waiting. He knows, because he knows. He knows that he loves us more than we love ourselves, more than we love our kids. So in that moment when Horace read those words, if God is for us, who can be against us? I realized that I was living in such a way that I didn't truly believe those words. I mean, I've read them many times, as many of us in this room probably have, because we're all old people and we've all read a lot of verses in the Bible many, many times. But I, you know, I realized, well, I was challenged in that moment by the Holy Spirit. I realize we worry because we're not in control. We can't control. There's a lot of things we can't control, even if we try. We worry because we're afraid. We lose sleep because we aren't truly trusting God to do what He promises. We feel defeated oftentimes because if God is for us, who can be against us, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? Can any of this worry accomplish anything? If I forget that God, if God is for us, who can be against us? But if I remember that if God is for us, who can be against us? When I'm in the middle of this deep emotional turmoil, worrying over my children, then, you know, I can pull myself out of that and go and be strong and go, if God is for us, who can be against us? So I know everything's going to be okay. You know, our brains, I think I've said this already, our brains know the words, but sometimes it takes a little while for our hearts to catch up. There's many, many verses like that I can think of right off the bat, including the one that Horace just shared when he came up here, that we are God's masterpiece. It's easy for me to think about that for someone else, but it's very difficult for me to remember that for myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so that's a challenge for me today because he said that. let me see where I lost. Sorry, I lost my place. And in that moment, after we read that scripture a couple of weeks ago, I found Holy Spirit asking me, do you believe that I am for you? Do you believe that I will carry this load for you? If only you would give it to me. That's a problem, isn't it? It's, I believe, oh, I'm so worried. Oh, I believe. Oh, I'm so worried. You know, we kind of do that, don't we? I hope I'm not alone in that. I think that all of us struggle. Do you believe that I love your children even more than you do? Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh. And it was all I could do to keep from weeping in that moment. Because, and you know, he doesn't know anything about this because I didn't tell him, but I was just like, you know, and all through Don's sermon, I will listen to his sermon again because I completely missed it because I was just focused on that, what the Holy Spirit was doing in that moment. It was like, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? And don't you know that I'm interceding for you?
Yeah,
I am interceding for you. I am interceding for your children. I am praying words that you can't pray because you don't even know how to. And, you know, so anyway, I realize, and again, that I believe those words when it applies to others, like I can believe that for you, you know. But I realized that I was not walking in the truth of those words as they applied to me, especially these last few weeks. To believe means that in spite of the worry and fear, which are natural human emotions in these circumstances, we can trust that Jesus is interceding for us and that we can rest in the promise of his love, that love that Brian shared about last week. As we wait for God to do what he does best, which is always better than anything we could do. You know, we might come up with solutions, but God always has the solution, right? And that's what I was going through, you know, preparing for this sermon. I remembered something Tammy said to me a long time ago. I don't remember what was going on at the time. But I know that she had prayed for me. And then after praying for me, she said she saw me hanging from a cliff, clutching to it. She saw me clutching to it, afraid that I was going to fall. And she said, you might be afraid of falling. But what the image I saw was that God's hand was right there, right beneath your feet. I was thinking about that. I started laughing because I was like, that's right. And I was hanging on to that cliff with all my strength. I'm still hanging on to that cliff with all my strength. I forget that his hand is right there waiting to catch me, you know. And it's okay to fall. We can fall because we're not going to fall far, right?
Right.
Because if God is for us, who can be against us, right?
That's right.
He's not going to let us fall too far. He's going to pick us up again. In fact, he wants us to let go of that cliff we're holding on to so tightly and let him catch us and let him handle the situation. And I've been, this is a lifelong process of learning. It's not something that I'm going to learn overnight or that I have learned overnight. And it's something I'm still learning probably until the day I die. You know, we're just learning how to let go and let God do things. That cliche, let go and let God, right? All right, I have a funny little scene from, have you guys seen Finding Nemo?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's seen Finding Nemo? Okay, if you could show this little scene, it's a very cute scene. We'll see if it works.
If you're listening to this recording.
I love that little scene because Dory is just, she's clueless, you know, she's, and in a lot of ways, I feel like we don't need to be clueless, but we can kind of live like her. Just not, she doesn't worry about anything. She's really forgetful of, but she doesn't worry about anything. But Nemo is the one that's, he's got to be in control. He's got to make things happen. And then in the very end, he asks her, when she said it's time to let go now, he asks her, how do you know something bad isn't going to happen? And she says, I don't. You know, and that's true for us too. When we do yield to God and let him handle the difficulties in our lives that we have no control over, how do we know something bad isn't going to happen? We don't, right? We don't know that.
Right.
But we let go because we trust God. We trust Jesus.
Wait.
So let's go back. I'm going to read those verses again, but I'm going to start from Romans 8:18, just for context. And I'm reading from the NLT. So the Romans 8:18 through 39 is what I'm going to be reading. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. That right there is a statement about eternity, right? When we think about eternity, there's nothing on this earth that is really that bad. We can get through it.
Yeah.
For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. The now and the not yet, right? We're living in the new. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And this whole verse, I love this. I should have read it from the Message, but I love the NLT also. This whole passage here, 18 through 25 in the Message, is really cool because this whole thing relates to childbirth, which whole thing relates to childbirth. which I have a little bit of experience with as a doula, you know, and as a mom. I birthed 8 children, and I watched many, many, many women give birth, some of them with pain meds, some of them without. And no matter whether there were pain meds or not, it's still very hard, you know. First of all, there's the pregnancy and the waiting for the birth to happen, right? And pregnancy is very uncomfortable in the very end. And in the message version, it says something like, we are enlarged in the waiting. And I was like, yes, we are. Yes, we are. And then, you know, and then there's the birth itself. There's the labor pains. And a lot of times for first-time moms, that birth can take a couple of days, you know. It can take a while. But it's only until near the very end where it gets really, really, the pain of childbirth gets really difficult to manage. And for me, when I was with birthing women and they would be talking to me and laughing and smiling, I'd be like, we have a long way to go right now.
Yeah.
But then towards the end, it would be like things would change. You know, it was like everything they could do to even say one word. Like, I remember my daughter, Clarissa, when she was giving birth to her first child, they were trying to get her to get on the bed because she was, you know, she was there. She was at the end. She was about to give birth. And she goes, she couldn't talk. She could barely talk. And she goes, no bed. It was just, you know, I think about that and I just laugh because it is hard, you know, at that very end, everything that you have within you is going into birthing this child. Every emotion you have, every hormone you have that can help you manage the pain and everything else. It was just, you know, it's just funny to me that this passage being related to childbirth. It's so, when you look at it as from that standpoint, it's really cool. Okay, and then to verse 26. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked because childbirth does that to me. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for half the time, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll pray, but I'll be like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to God and I've said, I don't even know what to pray, you know? But I know you know whatever needs to happen. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Again, there it is. The Spirit is pleading for us. That's so cool to me. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good, for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Nowhere in that scripture does it say, and this is where I had some legalistic teachings early on, where it says God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Nowhere in that passage does it say for the people that are good, you know, for the people that have managed to avoid sin and right. This and that. For the people who have already reached perfection, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. you know, it's for those who love God. We can love God, and we can still mess up. We can still mess up. Maybe we don't want to, but we do, right?
Yeah.
For God knew his people. Okay, verse 29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. And so I put in here in my notes, I put, who is them? And so when Horace shared that scripture and said, we need to place I and me in place of those scriptures. So, you know, he got, God knew me in advance. He chose me to become like his son, who would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen me, he called me to come to him.
Yeah.
And having called me, he gave me right standing with himself. And having given me right standing, he gave me his glory. That's, yes. I mean, when I read it like that, it's like, oh, I think I'm a long time away from that. But this is God's truth, right? This is what we got to believe. It may be hard for us to believe about ourselves, but this is what we've got to believe, because this is what the word says. This is what God's truth is. This is what he says, right? So verse 31. Here we go again. I'm going to read it again because it's so good. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Who dares accuse me? Who God has chosen for his own. Wow. No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand. And in the NLT says pleading for us. I think I said that already. And I replace it with interceding for us. Jesus sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand, interceding for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for you, your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Because if God is for us, who could be against us, right? Okay. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, nor even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. I'm going to go back down and read that with putting I in there. So I am convinced that nothing can ever separate me, I hope you guys are the same, from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither my fears for today, and I have many, nor my worries about tomorrow, and I have many. Not even the powers of hell can separate me from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in closing, I would like to challenge each of us to ask ourselves, what areas of our lives are a struggle for us? What areas of our lives that we need to yield, that we still need to yield? And it's okay. You know, God is a graceful, merciful God. You know, we all have areas that we need to yield. But let's ask ourselves, what areas are a struggle for us? As long as we're living and breathing, there will always be something, right? And because we're living in this fallible body, in this now, not yet time. I will share that a few things for me are worry and fear, as I've already shared. Also, my food addiction, because I love to eat. And a lot of times I often turn to food instead of to God for comfort. The thing with food addictions is everybody knows you have one, right? Because you carry a heavy load. But anyway, so, you know, that's something I'm working on. I know it won't be gone overnight, but it will be eventually. God will help me to turn to him sooner. I love what Don always, he often shares about learning to play the piano. You guys have probably said this before. And his professor because Don is left-handed, and so he would play the left-handed part a lot louder, and it would overtake the right-handed part. And he was trying so hard to make that left hand play softer, but he just couldn't get it. And then one day, it just he just understood. I don't remember if some. If, I think it was just a Holy Spirit moment. He realized, I'm going to focus on the right hand, you know. And so that's what he did. He focused on the right hand, and then his the professor was like, I don't know what you did, but you fixed it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, true for us in many parts of our lives. You know, we're going to get things wrong. We're going to do things wrong. We're going to do bad things sometimes, lose our temper, whatever. You know, we often do have addictions. Some of them are little things that we don't may not consider addictions, but we're created to be addicts because we're created to be addicted to God. We're created for a relationship with Jesus, and when that place is not fill, then we turn to other things. That's just a natural human process. We turn to other things, no matter what it is. It could be doom scrolling on your phone. That's something I do. It could be watching TV and just ignoring everything else that's around us. I do that too. It could be all kinds of things, right? They're all the major addictions too that everybody knows about. But they're all things that we use to replace relationship with Jesus. Some other areas that I know I need to yield in is just remember I don't have to fix everything because I'm a fixer. I try to fix everything. If I see something wrong, I want to fix it. If I see often something that where I need to have boundaries, I cross those boundaries and trying to fix. My husband could tell you, he could agree. He knows it's true about me. I think that I'm, you know, learning and I'm developing that skill, but it's not there yet. It's something that I still have to work on. Anyway, so yeah, so and today is Communion Sunday, which I can't believe it's already the end of June. Okay, yeah, so I'm just going to call Brian up. I think I had another comment, but I don't remember what it was. It doesn't matter. I'll call Brian up to do communion, and then Horace will come up after that and to lead the dis you know facilitate discussion if there's any and prayer for us. Thank you.
Thank
you, Amelia.
Okay. Wow, that was great. Before I start into actual communion, let me just say in response to what you're saying that, God has answered my prayers in various ways over my about 40 years of being a Christian. But there were two times he spoke to me just very, very clearly. And the first time was the day of my salvation, where he said, told me, Jesus is alive. I mean, I just knew that more than I knew anything, and it's still sort of the rock of my salvation. He is, and that is. The second time was more recently, about 8 years ago, when I was going through some real trials and couldn't figure out what to do, and I kept trying to figure out what I should be doing, and praying, just pleading before God in the middle of the night. He said so clearly to me, it's not about you, Brian. And that's another way of saying some of what Amelia was just telling us. We want to do it ourselves. We want to fix it ourselves. But ultimately, it's Jesus. It's the Lord. Okay. Communion. So God so loved the world, he sent his only son for us, for me, for each one of us. And as a perfect sacrifice, so that our sins are forgiven. And Jesus came, and Jesus taught us that the kingdom of God is near all the time. It's near, it's here. And he showed us how to live, he taught us how to pray and everything. And then he suffered his trials and was sacrificed on the cross for each one of us. And that's what we celebrate at this time. You know, on the night his trials really began, he had his last supper with the disciples. And he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and blessed it and said, "This is my blood shed for you, so that this is fulfilled. That is, I will, by the shedding of this blood, satisfy the new covenant that God is establishing with each and every one of us." And he asked us to do all this in remembrance of him. And so that's what we do today. We break the bread. I've already broken it. And take the cup, some bread in our juice here. And we do this in remembrance of Jesus and what he has done for us and what he is continuing to do for us every day. Okay. Jones.
You can't get out. There, now I can. It's big. So, I have the title of facilitator. So that was very good, and what Amelia, the word she shared, and she never lets me look at her when she preaches a sermon. So I don't know what she's going to say, but that was one of the better ones she has had. And I hope it really sank deep into y'all. Because like she said, it's not about me. It's about God taking control and letting him take control. Because we just don't want to give up things that we want control of, and there's many things. And it's not things like, you know, for us at our age, we're not going out there and doing things that when we were young, 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 and we would do stupid things. Mm-hmm. So it's things that, you know, just, you know, they're stupid, but they're a little bit more tamer. So if you have anything to, if you have any comments towards what Amelia preached on, please share. We'd like to know your own feelings towards what she said. Angie?
There's two things that the let go and let God, I'm sorry, that reminded me of what happened with one of my kids mm-hmm. when they took off.
Mm.
And I was crying and praying, and God says, what are you doing? No, I said, why am I crying? He says, you're giving them to me.
Ah.
You know, so that really let out all of the worry, let out all of the crazy praying time that I had, crying and worrying. Mm-hmm. And of course, God took care of him, and everything turned out wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was most recent at our last ladies gathering. I was feeling really bad because I lost a gift card to give to my son for his birthday. Well, yesterday I found it in a place I would never have found it. But I had prayed, okay, God, I don't want to worry about this. If it's here, it's here. If I lost it someplace else, may it be a blessing. And it just fell out of this bag, and I was just so like, how did that happen? Yeah, how did I get that in it? Because God knew where it was.
Mm-hmm.
So that really spoke really to my heart, to confirming all that.
For me, I find it when I finally find that thing I was looking for, I quit looking.
I did. I quit looking.
But
I'm afraid it. I quit looking.
I really like that idea of God always being there to catch us
mm-hmm.
and yeah. not letting us fall. But the joker inside of me, the clown, always says, yeah, God's hand is right there ready to catch us. But remember, he's got holes from the nails. And you don't want to circle around and fall through. But even so, he's not going to let us fall. He's not. He holds us tight. And he won't let us fall. And it's hard. It's hard for me to accept that. It's like, well, you catch everybody else but me.
Mm-hmm.
No, but he's got a big net.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a big net. And he's pulling in a lot of us. There's room for more.
Right.
You know, we always have to seek the Holy Spirit for guidance about what we should be doing about a given situation. You know, we sat under a pastor sort of remotely one time who said something like, I never pray for anything longer than 10 minutes, but I never go more than 10 minutes without praying. There's no formula. There's no formula like that. I mean, Jesus said, you know, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting, you know? So there are times when we do just have to pray it through in some sense. But ultimately, it's Jesus. It's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, often there are little problems we encounter during the day, and yes, we look at it and we see immediately what to do and we do it, whatever. But then some other problems come up and they aren't solved that easily. And exactly what we should do about it is, well, we start by seeking the Lord and looking for his direction. Sometimes when I've done that, he shows me what to do more or less right away.
Mm.
And then, but other times I have to quote, pray it through. And there's no formula. There's no formula. The Holy Spirit wants us to communicate with him. He wants an interaction. And we have to do it that way. Lord help.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, for some reason our screen is frozen, but we're still here.
Good, Chris.
I wish we could freeze with it.
Ah,
But it just, really appreciate that message from the heart, and the whole thing of control. And I just to share with you a little situation here in England, or in France, sorry. We have a pool, which we're very, very glad to have. But the pool man has come to switch it on, but there's something not working. And so he doesn't know what it is, and he hasn't come across the problem before. So we have a situation where we've got paying guests arriving this coming Saturday, 6 days' time, and we have a pool that's not working. And that's the first of many guests who've booked through the summer. And obviously, one of the reasons they've booked our place is for the pool, especially with it being so hot. So I'm facing a situation, well, we are facing a situation which is beyond our control. So that's exactly what you're talking about. It's not particularly emotional problem or a health problem, but it's a practical problem.
Right.
And I was reading about Elisha this morning, how... I'm wondering whether it was Elisha or Elijah. You'll tell me. You know, Naaman comes. Naaman has, he's the...
Elisha.
It was Elisha, was it? Yeah. Naaman has this leprosy. He's a commander of the army for the king, our king Aram. Thank you. He's got leprosy. And eventually he goes... And reluctantly, he goes to Elisha. And Elisha doesn't even go out to greet him. You know the story? He sends a messenger, and so the messenger says, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman's reaction is indignation. And he's furious. He goes off in a rage because he expects the prophet to come out and ask him to do something, you know, far more magnificent than going and washing in the river. But his servants eventually persuade him, and he does. He goes and he finally submits and goes and washes in the river, and he is healed. And so you're probably wondering, what's that got to do with our swimming pool? But I was up there this morning just thinking about it and praying. And I decided, I'm not saying it was God, but I've decided to walk around the pool 7 times, praying. And like you were saying, after the first time around the pool, I ran out of words. So I just started praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. And I felt a bit silly, and I hope nobody would see me. but I did it for 7 times. And so I'm in that space now that several of you have been referring to, where you want something to happen and it hasn't happened yet. So I'm just trusting God. So I'm giving you the first part of the story. There's no good ending at the moment, but I'm believing there is a good ending, and hopefully I'll have it next week.
Amen. Amen.
It's holding you up.
Yeah, God is holding me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, by his hands. That's right. April's telling me that God's holding me up by his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know it seems a trivial thing. In the you were talking about your children and your grandchildren, and I realized that, you know, that really tugs at the heartstrings, and whether your pool is working is kind of not on that kind of scale. But I wanted to share it because it's real and it's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a stressful situation.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's everybody's input. Anyone else? No? Amelia, any last words?
Well, are you going to take time for us to pray for people if we want to pray?
Was that on my agenda? No, I am. I'm just closing out this segment
of our
service, and I'm going to go into the book. Sorry, Brian. I know I can be confusing. So, yes, right now, if anybody has any prayer needs or has anyone that you want prayer for, let's bring it up now. Of course, we're going to pray with Chris so that his pool is fixed in a timely manner and that his guests enjoy their stay with them.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
And if me and Amelia ever come visit and we stay with y'all, we don't care if the pool's working or not.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Anytime.
We'd actually love to meet you face to face. We'd love to meet you all face to face. This is one of the frustrations of this fellowship is we feel like we know you really well, but we don't meet you face to face. And well, we don't know how tall you are. Because you're all sitting behind these desks.
Yeah. We are. We're not that tall. We're, you know, typical. Not even typical. Not that tall.
In our house in Ohio, we had a pool for 20 years. And the day we had it removed, I referred to it as Independence Day.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
A lot of work.
Okay.
Okay, but prayer. We have a very good friend, a couple that are sort of our best friends around here at the side of the church body here, Jim and Jean Sias. And they're also very good friends of Don and Sue. Mm-hmm. And we always celebrate birthdays together and stuff like that. Anyway, they're both 81 years old, and Jim has had to have open heart surgery a week ago Friday. And he's still in intensive care after over a week. Mm-hmm. He had to have a valve replaced. Mm-hmm. And he's gone through everything. He's had internal bleeding. He's got pneumonia. And, I mean, he hasn't had solid food in over a week. I mean, he's just being fed through IVs and so forth. And he goes up and he goes down. And some days he doesn't even know who people are and stuff like that. And so we would like prayer for our good friend Jim Sias. He's not a believer. I think his wife is. But we pray that he can make it through this and heal. And that somehow in the middle of all this, he will find Jesus.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I would like prayer for Owen and our family. Friday was his last day of school. He has had school for years and years all year round, but his school closed. And so the change of routine and the change of not having someplace to go with people looks foreboding. Yeah, just, you know, what his new normal is going to look like. Routine wise, he's just very used to that and loved it and asked to go all the time, and that is now gone. So if your prayers for his contentment and peace and to see what this new normal is. Thank you.
Jenny, are you guys still working on opening the school?
I mean, so in theory, it will take a year for our new school to be able to get open just because it has to be Medicaid compliant. And so that takes 12 months of step by step, which we are doing. It looks like he could possibly go to the public school here starting in August. they have like a young adult program, so that's it's interesting. But I'm not 100% sure of that. That will take a lot of work to see if he can be successful there, if they have the facilities that are okay for him. So it's just the up in the airness of it for probably the next couple months, is what's like, okay, we're gonna wake up every day and have new grace. Amen. Every day, wake up
Right.
and have new grace, what this day looks like. So instead of a routine, which he's very used to. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you.
So let's pray. Father, we thank you for these requests that have come before you. And we ask you to intercede for one in Jim's life. If he doesn't know you, show your love to him,
Yes,
Father.
Lord.
Show your love to him. Let him just feel your love that he says, this can't be anything that I've ever felt before, so I know it is you. And all these problems and medical problems, just resolve them as you always have, Father, and just let them feel the peace that you give him while he's going through all this. And that he comes through a new believer in Christ. That is our one prayer for him, Father, that he just becomes a believer in you.
Yes.
Everything else, you will take care on your own. But the new Christ believer, that is the one thing that we sincerely request, Father. And we pray for Owen,
Yeah.
our young lad. Father, let him just sense peace in the school that he's going to go to now, the public school. Let him not be anxious. Let him just realize that you and Jenny have everything under control. Because Father, you work through Jenny to help Owen, to be there for him during all any situation that is disrupted in his life. So we thank you. We thank you for Owen. We want him to be just to grow up and to be just a young man that loves you, Father. That just loves you, Father. We thank you for that. And we pray for and it's not silly, Father. We pray for Chris's pool. We pray for the people that are working on it. We pray that there's a solution for it, that it becomes workable, and that the people that are going to be coming enjoy their stay there and just find peace with Chris and April. So we thank you for that, Father.
Father, we pray for Don and Sue.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you that Don, we gather, has not had any further episodes, and he hasn't. He's in good health. And thank you now as they head west to the Cotswolds and beyond, and have their stays in the places that they have planned. Well, Lord, will you surprise them with your goodness, with your faithfulness, with new insights and fresh understandings of you and your creation, and just top up the reservoir, Lord, for both of them. We know how much they give out. We know how much Don gives out in his messages in the week and on Sundays. Will you fill him up? We pray, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, with fresh vistas of your grace and goodness, and bring him and Sue back safe.
Amen.
With just a new angle, a new perspective that only you can bring. And Lord, we ask you to keep them safe in their travels. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 May I say a prayer, Horace?
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, we most humbly and sincerely come before you, thanking you for the gift of your Son and our eternal salvation. Lord God, we want to thank you every time we get together for our church family, Lord, that we are so blessed to have each other to love and to pray for and to pray with and to be prayed for. And we pray we await for peace and trust in your perfect timing, Lord, as you answer these prayers. And Lord, always, Angela, please tell your husband that I love him. And Jenny and Owen are in our daily prayers, Lord, that he will, maybe Owen can feel the Lord's hand holding his, and he won't feel alone, and he will have that contentment and peace. And we ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' holy, mighty, magnificent name. Thank you, Lord God. Amen.
And just remember, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Fear not. He's got the whole world in his hands.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, David. Oh. What's the next segment, Brian? What do I do now?
We're ready for July.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know what? Before we close, I don't know if you guys saw Keith. I hope I don't put you on the spot, Keith. I don't know if you guys saw Keith's email that he sent out a few days ago about his project that he's working on making worship music. I've listened to a few of the songs and they're phenomenal. And so yeah. I encourage you to go listen to them if you haven't, and support him if you can, because he needs some support. Both our prayers and financial support to continue doing it and be successful at it. So we want him to be successful because he's really good at this. It's a calling, you know, he's called.
Amen. He is good.
How do we see it? What do we do?
It should be in the email that he sent out a few days ago. I will, if I remember.
Check your spam folder. Check your spam folder.
In your email, you can search for Keith, and you should be able to find it that way. I will send it out later if I remember. We're
okay.
A busy day ahead, but I'll try to remember to do it later.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I think I did. I put it in the link for yesterday's email. I put a link in yesterday's email for the Zoom link down at the bottom. So it's in there as well.
There you go.
I have something that just says clicking here, but I don't know what that means.
Click on that.
But
that's because I printed it up for her.
He printed it, so I don't.
Oh,
so you can't click that.
So
you can click it all you want, but it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, she's knocked a hole in the paper.
No, I just didn't understand what it meant. In other words, I go to the computer and click it there.
Yeah.
Put the document on the screen.
Okay. Thank you so much. Love you.
Some email browsers, not browsers, clients will like the link won't have a link there, but you can copy and paste the link like it on there where it says click here.
Mm-hmm.
There is a link there. You might have to where it says allow all contents or something. You know, some email clients will have a little thing that pops up at the top or somewhere says allow all content. Well, you know that email coming from us is fine, so you can allow all content, and then you'll be able to click the link.
Thank you.
Good. All righty.
Now, well, Horace, as just a little plug for next week, I'm going to be talking about the word but.
About the word what?
But.
But.
B-U-T, not B-U-T-T, B-U-T.
Okay, I got you.
You got me, Horace. And
I,
so
I have your back.
You're good.
So what I suggest, and it is when you're reading the scriptures this week, look out for the word but. And okay. And we already had it in the reading from Romans 8. I won't go back there now, but there was a big but there. I don't mean
okay.
I don't mean a little but, which just, I think you're beginning to humor me now, so I'm going to stop. But, but I mean the big buts that change everything. I just feel God speaking to me about that, and I'm going to share it next week. Thank you.
All righty. Yes, I forgot that Chris will be doing the message.
Oh, okay.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
All righty.
Okay.
So everybody have the great rest of your day. And for Chris and April, the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we will see you next Sunday.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Love you all.
Love you.
God bless.
Bye. They can't see us.